Let's give them something to talk about. I see the energy running out. I got a planet to run around. Okay, okay. You ain't do nothing but run your mouth.
Are we on the yeah, we're on the wrong side, so we'd flip it. There we go.
There we go.
So so that's one thing I remember is like when I switch to this view, it's more of a vertical view, and I have to be really in the center of the screen. Welcome everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to anybody that dials into this podcast.
We got one.
That's late and late.
Oh, we lost one.
Later than our normal. They were like, oh shit. I didn't know it was gonna.
I didn't mean to click on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's the Savon podcast? But anyway, we're continuing. I lost a little bit of momentum last week because I didn't have a guest, and I only want to do these if we've got someone really compelling to talk to. They also, you know, if you're thinking about getting into the podcast world, it's time consuming in a sense of prepping to invite a guest, thinking about what you want to talk about, what might be compelling. We don't do a whole lot of work in the promotion side of this. We simply just podcast. And the intent is to provide our community, the Diablo community, with content that, you know, it might be meaningful to them in the CrossFit world, and then also to CrossFit affiliates that may or may not be listening. I think we get quite a few replays on the Apple Podcasts and Spotify, the listening version. People put it on 1.25 or 1.5 or maybe double speed.
Even on YouTube, we get a few hundred.
Yeah, we get a few hundred views. Yeah. And, you know, occasionally if we get like a Cole Carroll or a Dave Castro or someone like that to come on, which we've done, we didn't have Dave.
Nicole, Athena.
Yeah, Athena. We get a really nice big pop. And I want to invite those people, and I literally could put it out there and do it and likely get some of these people just because we've been around a long time and I know all these people. I know a lot of them personally. Jamie does too. But I don't want to duplicate what's already been done out there because they've been on everybody's podcast that's out there.
It's like rehearing the same message, the same stories.
And if I bring them on, I want it to be meaningful for them too.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure I can bring an audience. Like, I don't want to have someone on and only have like 300 people watch it. Like, I just don't feel like
you want it to be worthwhile.
Yeah. But we want to keep podcasting. I do enjoy having these discussions. It helps me not only with getting our word out there to whoever may be listening within our community, but also helps me kind of formulate my mind the thoughts that help drive the business. We talk through some stuff on here. We also, it's fun to talk about CrossFit.
Yeah.
20 years of doing this, and there's some funny shit to talk about.
We got some fun stories.
Yeah. I'm going to turn up the air conditioning because I'm warming up already in here. Hang on one sec.
The HVAC. Which will be interesting when this space is a no more, which could be some news for the podcast, right? Yeah, like we may be going through a move.
Yep. So this space is basically an office, the last office on this side of the gym.
Yeah.
We really don't have an office on the other side. Every space that we've had it becomes something that's useful to the gym. And Jamie, actually, if you're an affiliate and you want to you want to design your space to be the most functional for your gym, for the use of the gym, reach out to Jamie Lee. Look, seriously, DM him on his Instagram right there and ask him to come look at your gym and lay it out for you, because he's got a knack for laying shit out. And so when we think about space now, we think about what's going to have the most member benefit.
Yeah. What's going to bring the best value back to the gym and the members.
And the members.
Yeah.
Right. As a whole. Like we wanted to spend a bunch of money to redo the backyard area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which we're going to do. But it's going to go in.
But it's not going to cost that much.
No, we're going to do it in smaller chunks. We're going to do it in small. And the reason is that every time we've made the backyard area kind of nice. Yeah. It never gets any traffic.
It doesn't get traffic, but also, I mean, it comes back down to how we set it up. You know, it's like when you're outside, especially with the trees, I mean, the fact that you guys cut down a huge limb is going to be a huge, huge help from the pitch that comes down from the tree. But, you know, it'll get some traffic. And then all of a sudden, once the leaves start hitting it, nobody wants to go out there.
Yeah, nobody wants to go out there. Well, and again, it's because it's in a back, you know, it's a little bit out of reach of the main area of the gym. Mm-hmm. like 90% of our members won't go out there, 10%. So yeah, we got an error. So do you want to, so to think about it, do you want to spend $15,000 to $25,000, put down nice turf, a rig and everything else for an area that's only going to serve a small number
even those that might not even that actually know it's there, how much are they going to use it?
Yeah. And hopefully none of them are listening right now, because usually it's a pain in the ass members. Once you go out there and they make a bunch of noise, they upset the neighbors.
Gabe, I mean, I always remember watching Gabriel throw him like a 60-pound bag over a 13-foot target when he was training for his strongman
good
stuff.
Lord.
Yeah, that was impressive. There's some cool stuff that has gone out there, but it goes by unseen.
So what we're doing, what we plan to do, and we'll have it done in a few months likely, is we're going to put turf out there so that people can do their sled pulls and pushes out there.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to put I'd like to put a storage shed out there. Mm-hmm. So that's a place we can store some of the equipment that goes unused or kind of only gets used part of the year.
Yeah.
And then other than that, I might have like some chairs out there for people can go out there, just sit and relax and take
some coffee,
especially the coaches who are here all day and just need to get away from.
That is actually a really good spot for the coaches.
Oh, it is.
It can be a really nice spot just to kind of get away and hide. Nobody goes back there.
We have a nice area out in front of our gym that we've set up a picnic bench and we have some chairs, and it is nice to relax out there. But if you're a coach, or like me, when I go out there and I'll go, this is a great area, because it can be cool and breezy out there, and you sit out there in a little bit of sun. And then members start coming in. Mm-hmm. And so you're on a phone call and a conference call, and you got the little earbuds in, and then they're like, hi, and you can't talk to them because you're on a phone call. And then they think you're an asshole and you're annoyed.
Or you're just trying to deload from being coaching three classes in a row, four classes in a row. And you're just looking for a moment to yourself. Not that we don't want to talk to you, to be very clear.
Yeah,
that's the hard problem. That's for me personally, and I'm sure a lot of other coaches will feel the same way, is, you know, it's like once you get into a conversation with somebody, you really do care. You want to hear what's going on. But at the same time, you also have your own stuff that you might need to deal with. Like, you might need to run to the bathroom before you go to coach the next class.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes can turn into 15 really quick.
Yeah, you want to get on your phone, just send messages and doom scroll for a minute just to get your mind clear. But the back area we're doing, that's going to take a few months to do. We're going to do it in small chunks. And then on the other side of the gym, so we have two, both of our,
do you have a
both of our
pull up a map?
Pull up our both of our exits. Oh yeah, I could somewhere.
I might have it. I'll look while you go ahead and keep talking.
Yes, both of our exits for the gym have turf leading out the door. So it goes from, there's a big wide open gym area that's all stall mats, horse stall mats, and then there's two turf areas that lead out of the gym out the garage doors. And that both of those turfs have been worn down to a thin sheen of green.
Yeah,
carpet. And that's where people do all their sled pulls and pushes,
yeah,
which is okay, except when we have class, we have traffic coming in, or when there's a workout with a run in.
Yeah.
And so that turf area out back will help hopefully take some of that traffic off of there, the sled traffic off of there, and put it out back when people do. They like to do sleds for push-pull, for warm-ups, especially, or for private coaching sessions. Private coaching sessions are taking up space within the gym. Now we get more and more members doing private coaching.
Yeah.
And so we've got an open gym area, but that open gym area gets filled with people that just want to do accessory work. And so we're running out of, and then we got a strong room, Olympic lifting room, and that's getting taken with Olympic lifting classes. Yeah. So we're running out of private coaching space. Long story short, all the way back around to what Jamie was talking about, we're tearing down this room because it takes up, 200 square feet probably.
But it's 200 square feet right in the middle of this bay. So this bay is what, 4,000 square feet?
Yeah, it's 4,000 square feet.
Yeah, so
the whole bay area.
With the exception of the bathrooms, there's like one single bathroom and then one women's bathroom that's got like three stalls in it.
Yeah.
Two or three stalls. Other than that, this office, and then there's a wall. It creates a nice little break in between spaces. So if you've got two classes, but at the same time, there's a lot of space, like you said, that could be utilized for
private
coaching and whatnot.
Yeah. So we're going to do that. So we're going to tear down this office, which means we'll go remote. Jamie and I will go remote. He'll go from his garage. I'll go from home, which it's easy to do with the software that we use. We use Streamyard.
Yeah.
So that's happening. That's going to happen in September. We're going to tear down this office and change the structure, the pull-up structure that we got there. I dread that.
I don't know. I'm kind of excited.
Well, I know, but it's just moving rigs and stall mats and stuff.
It's like a new gym, though. It's like you're going to get a new gym.
It is. And it's not, the interesting...
Glass half full.
What's interesting is building gyms. Like if you're Shane and Tia, and you happen to have access to a bunch of capital... that you want to throw at your gym, you have people come in and build your gym for you.
Mm-hmm.
But once your gym's up, like moving a rig from here to there to, you know, from one side of the room to the other room, usually it's like very difficult to get like a contractor to come in. You know, you go to Angie's List, like it's difficult to find someone that's like, hey, I need you to build a rig, and then understand like
why and where,
right, and where, and where, yeah, the pull up bar heights are. Like you have to be hands on, yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, unless you're a really, really good planner and you can anticipate, but usually what happens with rigs is you start building them like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I should have this type of bar here, mm-hmm, and it should be, you know, instead of being 4 feet from the wall, let's make it five feet. Oh yeah. Shit. Do they have 5 feet bars, yeah, that can you? And the whole thing becomes you doing it, mm-hmm, eventually. Either you're supervising it the entire time or you're doing it. And so, yeah, and what I've just, and I'm a terrible delegator anyway by nature. So I'm just like, fuck it. I'm going to do it. And so I'm here usually, and I get people to help me. And if you get, you know, people, and if you have a Jamie Lee, which is awesome because he helps you design it smartly so that you don't have to redo it. Mm-hmm. And then cutting and moving stall mats.
That's the worst part of it all.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we have some breaks in here. Like there is stall mats in this room, but
yeah,
we're going to have to cut.
Seamless between the rooms. Yeah. And then we got floor underneath. While we're doing this, I already talked to him about
Releveling the floor.
Yeah, releveling the floor in the open gym area. So it should be nice.
Yeah.
And the question is, do we want to put a strip of turf indoors too?
Yeah. I'm not against that idea. Yeah. I kind of like the idea of having even just like a little strip of turf that's level across the mats.
That's level, straight across.
Yeah, I think that would be a really nice, especially when you think of it from like a personal training or, mm-hmm, as a tool that you can utilize without having to go into the main gym.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So we'll do something like that. That's where we're going to spend the money. And that money versus spending it on the outdoors, we're only 10%. If we spend it in here, we'll probably get 30 to 40, 50% of our members that will benefit from it.
Yeah.
And so that's how you think about it. And you know, the other thing that someone taught me basically just, you know, said it. And I was like, oh shit, that makes sense. You know, if you got $1,000, you know, are you going to spend it on a new rower that, you know, 100% of your members can use? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to spend it on a reverse hyper machine that gets parked in the corner room, takes up a bunch of space and gets used periodically by 25% of your members?
If that.
And that right there is how you think about your next $10,000 that you get.
Yeah.
How do you want to spend it?
Yeah.
And you know, Yvonne said it too when we were talking about the backyard area. She goes, you realize we could get all new barbells with that money.
That's a really good point.
And I'm like, damn.
So does that mean we're getting new bars?
Yeah, we want to do new bars.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's time for us to get new barbells.
Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of good bars, but there's definitely some bars that have been around longer than I've been around.
Yeah, they have been. Some of those bars, like I'm like, are staying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like for sure.
Those Pendelay bars, those old Pendelay bars.
The HD bars. Yeah.
There's just something about those bars. There's karma with those bars.
Yeah.
It's hard. It would be really hard for me to give those up.
And they have withstood so much over the years. I mean, the amount of bars that we've bent, and those things are still just rocking.
Yes, rock.
It's awesome.
Yeah. The one good thing about starting a gym is when you make an investment in barbells, it'll last you a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
Which we learned about the equipment business since we were in the equipment business and we sold the fitness equipment is that once people buy equipment, they don't buy it again because it doesn't never breaks.
Yeah.
Lasts forever.
Unless you're buying crap.
Yeah. Unless you're buying shipping container stuff. What was that store that we used to go to buy fitness
equipment? 360 or something
that? No, not 360. The other one, the one in Fremont. We used to go to this warehouse and buy fitness equipment. I forget what it was. Remember the one
No, I don't. Was that before the functional equipment?
Yes.
Rig setup that we were.
Yeah, it was about that time.
Okay.
There were a number of, they would just get shipping containers of equipment from China, and some of this stuff was just terrible. But anyway, that stuff helped us get us through to today and where we are today. And some of it's still out there. I think the dumbbells are still out there,
which would
explain why they fall apart.
Well, that and also dropping it. Did you like my penalty for yesterday's?
Yeah.
Dropping the dumbbell.
Chad asked me, one of the other coaches asked us, hey, there's a penalty for dropping the bar. You had to do a 200 meter farmer carry, which was great. Chad goes, hey, is this like we really doing this? I said, no, this incentive. So Chad's demoing with 25. So I took Chad's class, which was he had a really good class. I really enjoyed his class. But he's demoing the movement and he's going through. He goes, hey, here's the hang power. Here's the power cleans. Go from the ground into this position. Great. And he goes, and then here's the thrusters. And he goes, now, one thing I got to tell you, at the end of it, don't do this. And he's holding him at waist height. And he has, it's only 25. So he goes, don't do this. And he throws him. And I'm literally like, I'm in the class. I'm like, bro.
You didn't need to demo that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, everybody knows what you're talking about.
Tell them.
So
like, I just, and he goes, or he goes, and then he points to me, this guy's going to get really mad. I go, yeah, like I am right now. It was good.
Man. So reference that workout was 3 rounds, 40 on, 20 off, alternated between dumbbell power cleans and thrusters. And I coached opening classes, and
that was such a cool workout.
It was fun, but at the same time, I knew that like when you go to that threshold with that time frame, it's like you're gonna see some people drop the dumbbells. Like you just see that happening. They just celebrate it and they let it
after
go.
After the thrusters,
after the thrusters, or even after the dumbbells. I mean, your grip's gonna get fried. So. Yeah. I just wanted to nip it in the bud ahead of time and told everybody, if you drop it, you got a 200 meter farmer carry with your dumbbells. You're going to become real close with them.
And, you know, again, this is one of the, as a CrossFit affiliate owner, when you see equipment being abused, when you've paid for it and you know what the, like, and you've loaded it into your car and you've brought it to the gym and you've
cleaned it,
and then you see it being abused. It's hard. Any affiliate owner will agree with me on this one. About 3 weeks ago, I came in and I forget what the workout was, but it had double devil press. It was a Saturday workout. Mm-hmm. And there's a like 8 to 10 drop ins from a different affiliate that came in, and they were pretty good athletes. But one of the bros, like, he'd finish his last devil press at the top and just start to get to about halfway to his shoulders and just launch them. And in the middle of the workout, it was just 22 people in class. I'd walked right through class.
Oh, yeah.
Right through. I didn't care what was around me. Yeah. It was like, I was like you've seen that meme where the ship captain's walking down the Pirates of the Caribbean, where he's walking down the ship in slow motion as the ship's exploding.
Death eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. That was me walking across the gym. It's just chaos going on around me as I'm walking and looking at him. And he looks at me.
He goes, oh, shit.
And I go, don't do that. And he just kind of looked at me. He didn't acknowledge him, but he kind of nodded and he went in his work, and he didn't do it again. And afterwards, he came up to me and he goes, who are you?
Oh, whoops.
And then his friend goes, this is Craig Howard. And he goes, oh, are you important here? That's what he said to me.
Seriously? Yeah. You know, where were they from?
CrossFit. Hey, CrossFit.
But CrossFit, I don't. Hail. I mean,
and he was a nice guy, but he was wad drunk, so he wasn't he wasn't being insulted. Like,
fully coherent.
No, I didn't get it. Like, I'm insulted. Like, wasn't trying to insult me. He was just literally like, he didn't know how to make words come out of his mouth properly because I could tell he was just kind of wad drunk.
Yeah,
which is why he was doing it.
Yeah,
And I said, bro, I own the joint. And I said, and I understand your fatigue. Appreciate you being here and doing the workout. I go, but when you drop those things, they break off, and then I can't use them ever again. Like, you can't glue it back on.
And that's the thing, like with the dumbbells, like especially the heavier ones. When you drop those things, we only have so many 70-pound dumbbells, for example. And it's like when somebody drops those, they break.
Oh yeah.
And then we don't have enough dumbbells for you to train with. So it's like, take care of your stuff. Take care of the stuff like as if it was yours.
Yeah, that's Jamie makes a really good point. So like, you're not gonna, as a gym owner, here's another thing.
Yeah,
spend money on, not spend money on. you got one member that has a really, really, really long shot of making the semifinals.
Yeah,
and that bro wants to train with the 100-pound dumbbells because they showed up in a workout once like 3 years ago. You got to think about that investment and go, okay, I could get one pair of 100-pound or a couple pairs of 100-pound dumbbells so he and his buddy can train, which that's like $1,000, or I can get a rower that 100% of my gym can use.
Or even getting like the incremental dumbbells.
Yeah.
Like the 17s, 22s, and 32s.
Right. Or getting an incremental set. These are the things that affiliate owners, like, you have to be careful. I've fallen in, and everybody else that's been around, any of the competitive gyms have fallen into this trap. You start to respond to those types of requests. We need. And you get, and then 6 months later, you're the guy that's moving them away from the wall because they haven't been moved in forever, and there's a ton of dust underneath them.
But if you do have,
but if they break, coming back to your point, but if one breaks, that's it.
Yeah.
Usually it's only one set of those or two sets of the hundreds. I got, I don't know, hundreds.
We had two pairs.
Yeah. Now we only got one.
We have maybe half of one. Yeah. There's maybe like a dumbbell and a half, because it's like the dumbbell, one dumbbell is good, and the other dumbbell, it's like when you drop it, it's like the handle, it bends.
Oh yeah.
So it's like when you're, if you're trying to snatch a 100-pound dumbbell and it's off balanced, it's not, it's almost not even safe.
Yeah. While we're on this topic,
yeah.
This is just, I think this is useful information. It's something to think about, is GHD machines back up. So Jamie loves the GHD, right? And no question. It's it's an amazing machine.
Not just for sit-ups, by the way.
I know.
For developing how to hinge. Okay,
let's not go into why you
just
love
to be clear. Just to be clear.
So the GHD. See, I told you. And then and then the other part, the other thing that he loves the reverse hyper. It's an amazing machine. And then we have eventually we finally got a belt squat. But all of those things are in the close to $1,000 each now, just because of the shipping and everything. Yeah. And they also take, and this was something that my former partner always talked about, is the transportability or multiple use. He likes stuff with you could get multiple uses out of it. Mm-hmm. He didn't like single use items.
Yeah.
Because single use items, like, you're limited. Like, you can only, you know, GHD is a little bit different, but the reverse hyper, you can only do reverse hyper, and it's only for, therapy or strengthening the back, or like, and it's only for accessory training.
Yeah. And it's not something that we utilize in class, because there's only one.
Well, there you go. That's the rule, right? Yeah. Can you use it in class? And so those are the things to think about too. As you go through your thought process of acquiring equipment and spending your next $5,000 or $10,000, if your membership is not where you want it to be, really, really lean into what will have the biggest impact for your community as a whole, and really resist the temptation to spend the money on the shiny objects that one person is like, we have to have this. Yeah.
I think maybe just to counter that, if you are a gym big enough and you have enough staff or trainers that are doing enough private training, those kind of things can actually be helpful to help generate some business. You know, it's like, hey, I got a back thing. And it's like, let's set up a time and I'll show you and help you through this process and teach you how to use this machine properly. And then now you have a more bulletproof client that's going to continue coming to class. So it could come back down both ways, but it really comes back down to like, where are you in your affiliate as far as your business? Like, how many people do you got? How many trainers do you have available?
Yeah, and are you generating revenue through private coaching? Is a portion of your income coming from private coaching?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I actually like that, because as we think, because our coaches use it in their private training sessions. Exactly.
That's why I say that.
In a master's class last week on Sunday, I took all of the master's athletes that we have. We do a Sunday master's RX Plus class, and I brought them into this room, and I demoed the reverse hyper and the belt squat machine.
Nice.
As to use it as a tool for warming up.
Yeah.
There's very few things you can do that are just like, so quickly get into them and do that will activate your hips, glutes, quads,
nice big
lower back. It's amazing. Go back and forth between those two machines, doing, you know, GHD or doing good mornings in the belt squat machine, and then marches in the belt squat machine, coupled with the reverse hyper. Like it's amazing.
I mean, it comes back to the, like you said, if you're not going to use it, don't buy it. But at the same time, if you are going to be able to leverage it and actually really continue to teach people about it, it's available. That's maybe worthwhile.
Yeah, if you have the space.
If you have the space.
And you have coaches that are going to
leverage that
machine for their business.
Yeah.
But prior to that, if you're doing primarily classes, and 90% of your revenues come from classes, your equipment investment should be in
group exercise
focus.
Yeah, for sure.
Since we're on that topic, we're getting and we're talking about things that we're doing at Diablo, we're getting five new ski ergs.
Exciting stuff.
Friday
we already have four of them, but now this kind of gives us an opportunity.
Jamie has been bugging the crap out of me for years to get another.
I'm not the only one,
I know, to get more ski ergs. into the gym. CrossFit Pleasanton, our friends at CrossFit Pleasanton, yeah. Zoltan, they have, I think they may have like 15, 20 of them.
What?
Yeah. He's got them all against the wall. He's got, they're never part of their classes.
Are they built into the wall, or are they like the maneuverable ones?
He has them all wall mounted.
Okay. That kind of makes sense too. I mean, like you lose some wall space, because wall space in a CrossFit affiliate is a valuable source of, or valuable real estate.
Yeah, valuable real estate.
You know, like whether it be wall balls, handstand push-ups, or just even stretching on the wall. But having the ones with the platforms, they're nice to move around, but they take up a lot of space.
So we'll have a total of 9. And what we're going to do is, you know, Jamie will start programming them into workouts. Now, Diablo relies on our primary machine is the rower. That's the one we started first. We started with one back in the day that Jeremy Jones owned, and then we bought a few more of those. And when we think about equipment like that, just to go through the process, and Jamie, again, this is where something that he's really good at is, how do you incorporate it into a workout? Like, if you've only got 4 machines and you got 12 people in class, how do you use those 4 machines effectively to get everybody on that rower? But so that's what we did. We went to even numbers. We always looked at even numbers.
Yeah.
And we go, instead, we go from 1, we go to 4. So that's a, $3,000 investment to go from 1 to 4.
Yeah.
And that's worth it. Cause now, and you can talk about this, is how you program in a class. If you got a class of 16, how do you use 4 rowers? How do you make sure that 4 rowers or everybody gets that time on the rower?
Yeah. You would definitely want to break it down into, groups of 4, whether the group of 4 is set up onto an EMOM format, maybe you got a couple other things that are built into the workout, or even setting them up with partners, partner workouts. Maybe like as a partner, you and I are a partner, and then you two are a partner, but they're on the same team. So that's our rower. Maybe you rotate in and out on whatever's going on in that workout. But there's a lot of ways that you can work on and then, implementing
and then
stuff.
Staggered starts.
Staggered starts is another really big one.
Which is what we do with ropes.
Yeah. Staggered starts, wave,
Yeah, waves.
Yeah.
And then team workout, partner workouts. And then EMOM. Well, no, Fight Gone Bad style.
Fight Gone Bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where you're going 1 minute on, 1 minute and rotating through.
Yeah, rotating through.
Fight Gone Bad, exactly. I mean, Fight Gone Bad's got the rower.
Yeah, Fight Gone Bad, yeah. So that's how we went from 4, and then we go to 8.
Yeah.
And then we go, and then we said, okay, look, we need to have a rower for everybody in class now. Mm-hmm. And that what that does is that you don't have to be as creative with your programming. Right.
Yeah. It gives you a lot more flexibility until you get more people in class. Cause like, even when you have enough rowers, one for everybody, you might have a stellar class where you're like, shit, now we've got 6 extra people and everybody's accustomed to having their own rower. All right, guys, let's pair up.
Yeah. So then we went to assault bikes, and assault bikes, we got enough. We started same thing. We started with like 4, then with 8, then 12, then we got enough for everybody in class. We have assault bikes, and that literally is what we have now, except that we've transitioned to Rogue Echo. I'll talk about that in a second. But we have the air bike, and we went from, and so then we do rower, and then he can program in. Now Jamie can program in the air bike, which is just an amazing machine because it's low impact yet high metabolic effort. Mm-hmm. And those we switched out. That we went with the assault bikes one because they were out there before the Echo.
Well, that
bike
was also the game standard back in the day.
Oh, that's right.
It was the game standard. We've always kind of stuck to stuff that was game standard because of our team and athletes that were competing individually at regionals or the games level. You guys, and Yvonne had did a great job at providing stuff that we can practice. So it's just like practice the way you play. You're practicing on the same equipment, so you're familiar with how to set the machine up, so that way the transitions were all really good going into game time.
Thank you. That's two things. One, for reminding me of that, about the influence of the sport on our community. Mm-hmm. Because we did, that's when we got those, because one, CrossFit was the standard. Yeah. So we wanted to stay with what CrossFit was doing. It's the same reason why we used Concept 2 rower, didn't buy the rowers from China.
And that's why we have Echos now versus assault bikes.
That's right. So that's why we have Echos and Echo bikes now versus assault bikes. Well, that's one reason why. I'll tell you the other reason in a minute. But, that, but I want to talk about the influence of the games and the competition and the influence of competition. And it is one of the reasons why I think the CrossFit games are so important to CrossFit and the affiliates, because they're the kind of the leading edge, right? We fail, as you know, Greg Glassman said, we fail the margins of our experience.
Yeah.
They are the margins of our experience. They're testing the stuff out there to show us what the human body is capable of, but ways to Dave Castro is testing them in new ways using this machinery. And that testing also serves as a way to also maybe improve our fitness.
Yep.
And so the concept two rower, right. And then the assault bike, and then the echo bike. And then of course, then the concept two bike as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The C2.
And then the runners.
Yeah. Yeah. And the runners. Yeah, because we've been through as the games level. I mean, we've talked about trying to buy a couple of runners, but they've been through three different iterations now.
Yeah, it reminds me, I got to go fix the one that we have. Yeah, they've been through four iterations.
They started with a Windway or
Woodway, I think.
So Woodway was the first year. Then they went to
the
Assault Runner, and where is it at now?
It's at the Assault Runner.
Is it still the Assault Runner?
I think so, maybe. But coming back to that, our athletes were asking, because we did have athletes competing at the regional level or the semifinal level frequently, or at the games level, even for our team and for our masters athletes and individuals. Yeah. We needed to have the equipment that they were going to perhaps be tested on at those events. And so we would get them, and then we would implement them throughout our community and get more of them. And then that helped us. That benefited us as an affiliate. So that's the way the games have impacted that. And that's why the games are so important to, I think one of the reasons why the games are so important to CrossFit.
Doesn't mean you need to run out and grab that 100-pound dumbbell though.
No.
Let your athletes earn it first.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure they're going to get there. Yeah. I'm not betting on that horse. All the way back to, I don't know. We kind of got. One thing I want.
We were talking about this room, and then.
Well, no, hang on a second. I want to talk about Echo versus Assault Bike.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right. So the Assault bikes, look, they were cheaper than the Echo bike, and they don't take up quite as much space. Mm-hmm. But those son of a bitches broke like
a lot.
A lot. They were broken often.
Yeah.
And it was all the components that took the greatest amount of force.
Like the cranks
At the cranks and the chains.
And the pedals. He has a pedal shear.
Yeah, and the pedals. Pedals sheared off. You know, you get them in, you get one of those bikes and you get a good CrossFit athlete and you're like, they're putting it through the.
Yeah.
And also, it is a little bit of a knock on Assault, and I apologize. For the home CrossFitter, Assault bike's great. I think it's awesome. Oh. For the gym, it's not made. And they have better models now. They have high-end models for commercial gyms.
Oh, really? Which is,
yeah, they do.
So built reinforced.
They built reinforced, right? That's so they learn through testing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had the lower-end models, but our community tested the shit out of them.
Especially considering that we're running classes from 5 in the morning till 7:30 at night. And
we get 100 people.
I had 20 people in class at 5 o'clock yesterday.
That's crazy. So they, and Assault Fitness was really good about having spare parts. Like they get, but you're constantly,
having a wrench on it though.
Yeah. And I, you know, at one point I had a bike shop done it, but that was just, you know, kind of silly to have to bring it all over to the bike shop. I was just like, I want to do it here. And I became that guy. Cause again, going back to the very beginning of this, I'm a terrible delegator. So I was that guy taking it apart, putting it back together and working on those bikes. I'm like, you know what? The Rogue Echo we got, that thing is belt driven. It's quiet. There's no grease. It doesn't ever breaks. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So the Rogue Echoes, they're not necessarily the best for shorter athletes and women.
That's true. Yeah. As far as the height of the saddle
the
and everything.
Height and the
reach.
The reach on it as well is they're not ideal for women. They're not as comfortable, certainly. That's
for the vertically challenged.
Yeah. For the vertically challenged. Yeah. The Assault Bike was a little bit better for that.
Especially with the Assault Bike, you guys actually cut the seat.
Remember when we opened Alamo, we did kind of
Schwinn's.
So we decided when we opened one of our locations back in the day, we decided to go with the Schwinn Aerodynes. I don't know why. I forget why.
It's terrible.
Because they were
those
cheap.
Things sucked.
Oh my God.
They're bell driven. Yeah.
They're bell driven.
Barely. Yeah.
And then it was just then what happened was too.
Well, they weren't consistent as far as calories.
Well, that's right.
And everybody was bitching about so did it this faster, this much faster. It's like, well, they did it on the Schwinn. So we ended up having a whole different scale. Remember that? We had a whole different scale prescribed reps for the movement.
Rule of thumb for opening up multiple locations. Do not
same put, equipment.
Do not put different equipment in the locations, especially when it comes to rowers and air bikes. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Where would you do that? Did you do that at Alamo? Or did you do it at Pleasant Hill?
Oh, that was the biggest thing. It's like, you had to have an asterisk next to your name on a scored workout. It's like done in Alamo.
Oh, you did that on a salt bike. Oh, you did that.
What was so much faster?
Because remember, we got some of that too here with the assault bike versus the Echo.
Yeah, a little bit. Not as bad.
Oh, if I did it on an Echo, I put it in the notes on Sugarwater.
Yeah.
Hey, this was on an Echo because the Echo was harder.
Yeah.
Than the assault bike, in my opinion.
Well, that was the thing with the Schwinn is the fan was so much larger. Yeah. Like it would turn calories over faster, but it was a different energy. Like it was different.
It was harder effort to get it started. Yeah. It was just. So don't do that. Don't make that mistake. That costs us thousands.
Consistency.
Yeah. Going back to that, we just real quick, because I talked about it in my email. We did have Diablo at one point in time. I went through all, and I didn't really know the
680
number.
Corridor.
Yeah, 680 corridor. At one point, 2014. We had five locations along the 680 corridor in all. And I wrote in my email, so there's five locations on that little graphic I showed. Yeah. And then let me see if I can pull it up. I'll pull it up on the, because I have it on the website.
Oh, it's on the website. Okay.
Yeah, I put it on the website. But then when I started looking at everything we had, we've had seven total locations. If you include Contra Costa, Seco.
Yeah.
Seven locations.
That's wild.
That's
kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. We were that gym. And I look,
this is why he says don't open a second affiliate unless you have a really easy way to go and have people there.
Let me put it over here and then I'll share my screen. I'll show you. Let's see, present. And it was crazy time then because we were going nonstop. We had something going all the time.
Yeah. And that was also during DFE.
Yes. And we had
Diablo Fitness Engineering.
We had a fitness company as well, fitness equipment company, and selling fitness equipment. Yeah, here it is. And so at the top,
Pleasanton. That's right.
Yeah, Pleasanton. So in Pleasanton, get this. Okay, so this is 2000.
Yeah, Moxie's not even on this list.
Hang on a second. Yeah, so this is. But just to think about this, right? Because you just said that, right? We had a fitness equipment company, and we were doing, tens of thousands of dollars in fitness equipment, so warehousing weights and bumper plates and rigs and everything else, and
running
and
delivering that stuff.
We had a huge trailer. We ran 3 to 4. Like, you know what? I guess right now I kind of feel like a little bitch. The reason is because how hard were we working back then? Dude?
We were hustling. We were definitely hustling.
Here's what we did.
Times were different, though. There was all kinds of events going on. There were so many local comps.
Diablo was hosting 3 to 4 events
at least
a year.
Hosting. We were still a part. Right.
And then on top of it,
we were Sacktown Throwdown, Rookie Rumble.
Yeah, we were bringing our equipment. We were renting our equipment to some of these events that are around the Bay Area and setting up for them. And then also, we would go there and set up a huge display to sell our equipment
and Reebok shoes.
And meanwhile, we're managing all of these locations. And then get this, starting in 2014, we had a grid league team, a professional sports team.
That's right.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars poured into this effort. Remember? And then traveling around and doing those events on top of it.
I think that's where we kind of dropped off of the DFE, right?
I'm surprised.
Time rate, that time
honestly,
frame?
Like when I look at it now, I'm like, how did we do it? Like, how are we all not divorced or or dead or broke?
Still thriving.
Anyone wants to tell me about how hard they work, I guess I'm gonna save this post and just go look at this, bro. And then this is not even one because 50 miles to the south, 2 years later, we opened up San Jose, or 30 miles to the south.
Yeah.
And we opened up San Jose. And then on here, too, is not the city run program that we had, the city with the city conquered. And we outfitted that gym with all of our equipment.
We built out a whole affiliate over there.
Oh, yeah. It was insane. It was very competitive amongst the affiliates. Dude, Kalipa, too, was trying to open up massive amounts of locations. Mm-hmm. it was pretty wild. It was crazy time. It was fun time. It was certainly exciting for us. But man, oh man, we had equipment in all of those locations. We had a big ass trailer. Remember that big trailer with the crappy tires that would pop on the freeway when we loaded up with stall mats?
You diving down the side of the ravine trying to catch the spare tire from rolling away.
Oh my God.
I remember that. We were
on Highway 680. So we would
this is for Deuces Wild, right?
We had this double axle trailer that was not made to handle really heavy weights.
It had like a 6,000 pound capacity. We loaded it with 12,000
pounds of stuff. I'm like, it's not that far. We just got to go like 8 miles down the freeway. And I went 4 miles on 680, just a major freeway up here at that point too.
Yeah.
And blam, and the tires don't like
right at the just, four you don't highway get a four lead. Interchange. The
tires explode. And then they shattered. Yeah, right at the Highway 4 interchange, pulled off to the side of the road at night.
Yeah. I actually have a picture of that.
And so I'm calling Jamie. I'm like, hey, dude, what do we do? And what did we do? Oh, Larry and Eric got a box truck. He had a box truck.
Yeah, we were at the box truck.
And he came down the freeway. That son of a, he was a crazy son of a bitch. He was a doer though, man. And he drove down the freeway, and on the freeway, on 680, four-lane freeway at that point that just merges with Highway 4, the guy did a U-turn on the wrong side of the freeway.
Yeah. And facing here, I got a picture right here. I'll share it.
And backed the box truck up to the trailer. Meanwhile, I did have a tire. So I called the towing company. Oh, yeah. Look at that. That's so. He did that on that freeway at night. Oh, my God. You got a picture. I can't believe it.
Yeah, that's. I think that's
Jamie's standing on the side of the freeway. So the Martinez Realty truck is facing the wrong way down the freeway.
Yeah, and there's how big was that trailer? It was like a 26
foot trailer. Something like 26 foot trailer.
Double axle trailer. Double axle behind it.
Yeah, and so all we did was back it up, and then we transferred the equipment from one to the other. Prior to them coming, I wanted to get ready because the tow truck wouldn't come out. No, we don't do the tow service I had wouldn't do trailers. No, can't do. We don't do trailers. No, I go, look, a trailer's the easiest thing in the world. You got a jack
and a tire.
And I got the tire. Just jack it up and I'll just bring a guy with a jack. Just
don't have a jack, Ruth.
Right. Yeah. Don't have a jack. And they finally agreed to send a guy out with a jack. Meanwhile, so I go and I dig through all that equipment. I found the spare tire and I rolled it. In the trailer. So I'm like, I kind of chucked it so that it would be near the door. And the son of a bitch bounced out the door, the side door, and went down this huge ravine.
It's like a good 25, 30 foot ravine down.
And I'm standing in the doorway watching this thing go down there. I'm already
just slow motion, I'm sure.
I'm sweating. And I'm just dink, dink, dink. And then does a big bounce, jumps the fence. The barbed wire fence at the bottom of them and just keeps going into the night to where I lost. I'm like, son, like, could this night get any worse?
This is all before running a big competition at a huge venue.
Yes. It was, this is
Deuces Wild.
This is the night before running. And was it our competition?
It was Deuces Wild.
Yeah. It was Deuces Wild.
Deuces Wild at the Martinez. We were shuttling all the equipment out to Martinez.
Yeah,
USA Martinez.
This is our competition. So when people
at one of our affiliates.
So by the way, so for our members, and Chris McCurry asked me this often, you guys need to do a competition again. You guys need to do the competition. I have PTSD.
I'm down, but I want Chris to come and help. He's got good experience with running comps. Dude, and events.
I have PTSD from moments like that. Just the amount, like from early morning till late at night of the stuff we had to do. That story though is
that's epic. Funny.
And Larry came, loaded up the truck. He did another U-turn on the freeway.
Yeah.
We waited till it was clear, did a quick U-turn, drove it down to Martinez. We got it unloaded. Yep. We fixed the tow truck guy jacked a tire. We replaced the tire and we got it over there. Oh my God.
You know, it's funny because I think back just to my own general fitness and competing at the games and just with all these events that we used to run, I never did a lot of local comps back in the day.
Yeah.
And I want to contribute my games experience to running shit like this. Cause like you have at the games event, it's a long day. It's a drag. Yeah. So is running a comp. So if you're in a competitive environment and you want to kind of get a little change of perspective, run a comp,
be
a part of a comp.
That's a great 100%. So there are a ton of pundits online that criticize CrossFit and their events and how they're done, or they criticize Wadapalooza. And look, and I, you know, when you do those types of events, you promote and you're trying to make money. I understand that you're opening yourselves up to criticism, but a lot of it comes from people that have no experience and no appreciation for the amount of work and the sacrifice. Yeah. You don't get rich running competitions. You do not get rich running competitions. Part of your, you know, the people that start these comps usually are doing it to, one, as part of a give back to the sport, to give back to the community, or maybe to provide an outlet for their athletes. Yeah. You know, that's kind of one of the things that we did for their communities. And usually, and back in the day, especially, and I know people hate it when, especially my daughter hates when I say that, but we were doing it just to keep all of it going.
We were,
keep CrossFit going, keep the competition going. And so there, it's really hard to criticize people that are doing competitions if you've done it yourself. Yeah. You understand.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget that the Contra Costa Glary and Air Ran. He ran some great comps.
He did.
And he had that one.
He organized some huge events.
Yeah, huge events. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was great. And he was great for us on the fire, helping us out with the fire. But he did one at the Contra Costa, I forget what it was called.
At the high school.
Yeah, at the high school. And that was a big event every year.
Yeah.
In the year that, remember, he had the tech meltdown?
Mm-hmm.
And where he lost all of the scores. Yeah. Like three.
Somebody got somebody hacked the
3/4 of the way into the event. Like, you know, 2-day event, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he lost all his data.
I remember people were coming out, and I just remember listening. It wasn't a lot of people from our gym, but I just remember overhearing people like just bitching about like, what the fuck? Like, this, it's like, guys, this is
until you do this,
he's giving back. Like, there's nothing he's not gaining out of this. He's giving back to you guys.
Having an amazing experience after this, not knowing what the scores are.
Are you going to the games? What was the winning prize?
Yeah.
Get over it.
And he salvaged that, but I remember him. I'll never forget.
I could only imagine
coming out to the front of the event when I came up to walk to him, and he had tears in his eyes. He was just devastated, just
defeated.
Yeah, just defeated. Yeah. And it's like, we got to pump. Okay, like, how do we just take that's one step at a time? Let's.
I'm going to use defeated, not so much because the event went wrong.
It was
somebody. Well, somebody hacked the system.
Yeah. It was awful.
It's unfortunate.
And then everybody was attacking him. Like, these things are brutal.
Yeah.
And anybody gets in that business, like even the High Rocks people, I have a real appreciation for them to be able to, you know, the people that really oppressed me the most in all of this competitive stuff. Certainly marathon people, but they're only doing one thing.
Yeah, right? Like they're single modalities.
Right, single modalities. Yeah. High Rocks I'm impressed with, but you know the people that really impressed me were the Spartan people.
Yeah.
And I went out to one of their events, and you know, they'll put 10,000 people through those courses. And they
it's
do
crazy.
It so well, well organized.
Yeah.
Just the logistics. You know, if you are an affiliate owner, you're going to run events. If you've got someone that has really good logistical experience, that's the person you want to keep.
Yeah.
And you want to pay well. Someone that understands like how people move, you know, when's the traffic going to flow? What's, you know, where are people going to be? How
it's the little things,
all the little things. But anyway, we're going.
Wow, yeah, we went. It's really a random. It's a random episode.
It is a random episode.
It's fun. I like it.
Yeah. One of the things I mentioned. Well, one of the things I mentioned in my email that I did want to talk, and then we can end with the game stuff. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I did want to talk about is I'm seeing there are a number of influencers that are within our space. I don't know if they're within the fitness space, and that I happen to follow them obviously because I like what they say. But they're kind of I think of them as like the replacement for what Greg Glassman was doing in terms of education and information relative to fitness and nutrition, just really sound basic advice. And those people are the Rhonda Patricks of the world,
Huberman,
Andrew Huberman's, and then Peter Attia. They're focused on longevity. Andy Galpin is the other
Galpin,
one. And then Lane Norton, although Lane Norton is annoying because he's always attacking he's always looking at the competitors in the same space that are trying to provide health information and attacking their positions. And it, unfortunately, I think it takes away from his messaging, which is a powerful one as well. But recently there's been a number of podcasts and research reports that have these podcasts are referring to relative to protein intake and then also relative to the type of fitness that people should be doing with an emphasis on strength and intensity. And intensity being the biggest marker for or adding the most value to VO2 max. And VO2 max being the biggest leading indicator for longevity. So, you know, very high VO2 max directly correlated with a longer life. And what's the best way to achieve VO2 max? Not necessarily long, slow distance, but
high intensity.
Bursts of high intensity. And if you're not following these people, I would say follow them, because the one of the things about all of them, the commonality with all of these is that they are usually PhDs or MDs, but they also back up their positions with in their podcasts. Unlike us, they reference all of their research that they use to formulate their opinions. Rhonda Patrick is a is on Joe Rogan, you know, at least once a year to talk about you know, whatever the current topic is. But a couple that have come up recently, and one that I put in my email, is this Dr. Stacy Sims, and I don't follow her yet, but I'm going to start following her.
I was listening to that one.
And it's a Huberman podcast. I would urge everyone to listen to this one. And it's Dr. Stacy Sims, female-specific exercise and nutrition for health, performance, and longevity. And first of all, she's kind of a fitness badass, and she admits that she was a cardio junkie, an endurance athlete. And she says she still does it for, you know, mostly for her mental health. But the focus of her fitness is, you know, strength training and with her clients is strength training and bursts of intensity. So even she talks about using the assault bike for that. With her clients, but she's getting the best stimulation. Then she backs it up with all of the research to support it, improving health, VO2 max, strength, and longevity. And then on top of it, she gets into the perimenopause and working with perimenopausal and menopausal women. And some of the content in there, like, I was unaware of, especially, and what's really cool, she talks about nutrition and protein intake. And this is kind of one I know I'm going off topic a little bit, but I wanted to talk about this just for a second, because she's the one, and it's, you know, Yvonne listened to it. I've had a bunch of people in the gym. I put it in my email, and people are listening to it and they're talking to it. And we're all surprised by the amount of protein that she's recommending and when she recommends women taking. There is a difference between men and women with respect to the body's utilization of protein for muscle regeneration. Within women, that protein intake needs to be within an hour of their exercise. After their exercise. With the men, she goes, that can be 2 to 3 hours, and you'll still get the same type of.
I always thought it was within that first 60-minute window. Just anybody.
Okay, so it's probably better for everybody. But men, you can go as long as 3 hours, and you still get the same regenerative effect. With women, it's ideal that it be within that
immediately,
hour.
Yeah.
The other thing she says too, by the way, cold plunge doesn't work for women. It doesn't have that same effect that it does for men in terms of building brown fat, you know, the dopamine response, everything else. Yeah, that is fascinating.
That's interesting. Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of new stuff coming out on that. But anyway, so women, she said, and especially perimenopausal, menopausal, heat is the sauna works better than cold immersion.
Yeah.
But here's the part that I thought was fascinating. And what I'm starting to see a trend with all of these guys is they're talking about the amount of protein to intake. And she says it needs to be 30 to 40 grams is ideal. Within 1 hour of exercise. 30 to 40 grams is way more than I thought.
Really?
For one meal post exercise.
Okay.
One scoop of protein from a, you know, from like a bag, 20 grams.
That's why I always do too. Seriously, I've always done too. But that's just because I'm a bigger guy and I figured I need some more protein.
The numbers that are common that I hear today. So now back in the day, if you go back and you watch Pumping Iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, they talk about a gram of protein per kilogram of body weight. That was kind of the norm.
Kilogram.
Per kilogram. So that's basically a half a gram per pound.
Yeah.
Today,
a gram per pound.
It's a gram per pound.
Yeah.
So for me, that's 200 grams of protein a day that I should be intaking, especially if I'm doing exercise or any type of resistance.
But is that based off the lean body mass, or is that just based off of just body weight?
Well, I think they're just in general. They're just going to body weight in general.
Okay.
But one per pound, that's, you know, 1 gram per pound. That's far more than it used to be back in the, you know, back in my day. And I'm seeing that now. So I went to watch Dr. Stacey Sims on the Huberman podcast. Subscribe to the Huberman podcast. Yeah. Like all of his stuff, you know, that he just did one with Peter Attia talking about supplements and for their longevity and then the efficacy of those supplements. And again, mm-hmm. they're going to back that up with research.
Yeah.
Peter Attia, you should follow as well. He wrote the book
Drive.
Peter Attia, the Drive. Yeah. The Drive podcast. And he also wrote the book Outlive, which is again, you know, his experience with one, his own fitness, but also like looking into how people and why people live longer and the things that you can do with respect to your lifestyle in order to improve longevity outside of drugs. Mm-hmm. so that his most recent one is the Four Horsemen of Death and how to avoid them. Rhonda Patrick's another one. And she's, you know, these guys all know each other. You know, she did one recently, The Truth About Alcohol and the Impact of Alcohol. Peter Huberman's done that as well. Yeah, and yeah. It's really depressing. Don't watch any of those if you like to drink.
If you like to drink, yeah.
Literally, it's not good for you. The evidence now.
We should all know it's not good for you.
We do. I mean.
Just like smoking cigarettes, it's not good for you.
Well, that's, you know, again, that they say casual drinking, moderate drinking is the new cigarette smoking. Because your cancer risk is just as high.
Yeah.
There is no amount of alcohol that is beneficial. No. The conventional wisdom used to be, well, yeah, you know, a glass of red wine a night, you know. Well, no, there is zero amount of alcohol that is beneficial, which is really sad.
Yeah. No return. No return.
Not to say like if and that's talking about directly your direct impact on your physical health.
Mm-hmm. That's not impacting you. That's not in relation to what it does to your mental.
You know, I think it was Rogan that said, look, you know, there's no question that alcohol has enabled a lot of relationships because it gives you the confidence to meet people, lowers your inhibitions a little bit, and it's helped create families and bring people together.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. I would agree with that.
But it also has been responsible for tearing families apart.
Well, 100%. That happened in my family.
Yeah.
That's a topic for another long, boring podcast. But anyway, her latest podcast, going back to Rhonda Patrick, is with this guy, Luke Van Loon. And Luke Van Loon talks about like the post-workout. Basically, one of the things he gets into, he goes, we got to a point where there was almost no amount of protein that wasn't going to be used after your workout. Like in that regenerative process that's taking place, that in that regenerative process, like you can, he's talking like 100 grams of protein post-workout, and chances are that it's going to be used for helping with muscle regeneration.
Interesting.
That's a lot. Yeah. But that brings me then. I had this discussion with Yvonne this morning. We were talking about this. And she brought up Spencer from
Extreme Endurance.
Extreme Endurance. And he used to talk about this. He had a girlfriend who said that she was 100% protein diet.
Yeah.
And she was ripped and lean and healthy. That I think the conventional wisdom with respect to protein, carbohydrates, fats is starting to change. And one of the things I'll tell people here, you want to lose weight, the first thing you need to do is just put more protein in your diet.
Yeah.
Make sure you have protein is
at least hit your number.
Yeah.
Hit your baseline
with protein. Just it needs to be the biggest number of all your numbers. Protein should probably be the biggest number.
Cause in most cases it's the one thing that we're missing.
That's right.
Especially with how much processed food and shit that's out there.
Yeah. And so Luke Van Loon is saying 100 grams after working out. And I'm like, holy smokes.
A lot.
No, dude. And it's again, another fascinating podcast. I'm drawn to this because I start to think back, son of a bitch, I wasn't getting enough protein in my younger days, you know,
For sure.
And I could have taken in more. Yeah. And Yvonne's starting to take in more now too, which is great. But like there's a lot, and if you're not getting that protein, and getting that much protein in is hard. Like unless you're a carnivore and you're eating all the time, you're gonna need to supplement protein. So you need to find a protein that you get, whether it's whey protein, whether it's plant protein if you want, you know,
but then you're also gonna have to make sure you're getting enough of the amino acids.
Well, sure.
Right. Like you gotta, if you're not getting in any of the BCAAs, how is a protein actually going to form the building blocks to regenerate?
So Jamie's talking about BCAAs.
Hence the difference between
branched chain amino acids,
whole foods versus supplements,
100%. Yeah. So Jordan used to preach to me about that. Like try and get as much of your protein in from whole foods as possible, because you get all of the other stuff. The branched chain amino has all the other stuff that helps those building blocks come together. But protein, and I would pay attention to these podcasts, and I think for everyone, I want to shout from the rooftops. The evidence is really starting to pour in with respect to the amount of protein we need to have in our diets, especially if you're doing exercise.
If it's that many, that's a lot more than I thought.
You want to gain muscle mass,
which
and muscle mass improves, you know, your life all together. Strength and muscles are better than fat.
Yeah. especially in the older years.
Yeah, especially in older
you
years.
You want to maintain your lean body mass.
You got to get your protein. Take your alcohol out, get sleep, and reduce stress. Yeah. And the other one is, and I haven't talked about that you need to follow is Andy Galpin.
He's great.
He's friends with all these guys. These guys all know each other. The only smart people hang out together. But he's deep dive. But that guy, man, he's some of the stuff. So his latest one is How Your Genes Influence Performance. I haven't listened to it. I'm going to, but you know,
I need to follow him. I've listened to him on a few other podcasts.
Oh yeah.
I need to follow him individually.
Yeah. And it just, and Andy, when Andy Galpin speaks to, he's a younger guy, but when he speaks, he always backs it up with data.
Yep.
This comes from this, you know, clinical trial, you know, that where we learned this, like
it's not an opinion. It's not an
opinion. Yeah. And then, Lane Norton, he's more of a sensationalist. Lane Norton is, he's a power lifter, but he's a natural power lifter and he's also a PhD. The guy's really smart. I do enjoy listening to him. So the combination of those guys, Huberman, Atiya, Rhonda Patrick, Andy Galpin, Lane Norton. I'm going to start listening to that woman, Dr. Stacey Sims. I'm going to put her on my list as well. So put these people on your list and listen to their podcasts. They influence me in terms of my thinking with respect to fitness and working out, exercise, and all of that. And I think in my wife in a very positive way. And I think they, you know, certainly will influence anybody else.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool,
especially from a coaching perspective. Yeah, it's nice to have.
We are way off. Well, that's all right. This is a random hour.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
We're gonna do a random hour. Next, I wanted to talk about the games because the games are coming next week, and I'm flying out. And I, you know, I got 4 games tickets.
Yeah, did you sell them off?
Well,
are you going to try to scalp them at the front?
You know, I got 4 games tickets. I thought, man, should I get 6 or should I get 4? So you know who's going to the games? Craig by himself. He's sitting in a chair in the stadium.
Sorry, I'm saving my trip for Alabama.
Jamie couldn't go. I've like invited by 3 or 4 people. And you'd think they'd take the opportunity to hang out with Craig.
Yeah, I mean, I would be down to go, but it's also like right after the kids go back to school. It's just a lot.
Well, again, this year's later than past years.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I know it probably had to do with, you know, the Dickies Arena and
being available,
And all of that.
Yeah.
What's unfortunate though is like in California, the schools are starting up.
Yeah.
Like next week.
Yeah.
And so that puts a crimp in things.
Yeah, we start on Thursday,
and then because of the schedule of the Masters, you know, Yvonne can't go. Like she can't go to fly. You know, that would be
a lot.
Yeah, it would be a lot. You know, because Yvonne too, she likes to make sure that, you know, things are taken care of at her house.
She's also right packing. In the midst of like ramping up. This is like the last month, last few weeks leading into her competition that she's trained for a year.
It's interesting. I think there will be some Masters that will go to the games, the ones that are close by, but I think a lot of Masters won't go to the games because of that. Like it's a lot to, and you remember this from competitions when you go, you know, we had to tell our athletes, don't go watch the events because it's exhausting.
Stay out of the sun.
Yeah, stay out of the sun.
Stay off your legs.
Yeah.
Go stay healthy. Stay fresh.
So I'm going by myself, but I do have two to three affiliate events that I have.
I was just going to say, but you're not just going to spectate. You're going to work.
No, the good thing is, CrossFit is paying for my flight and hotel, which is really cool.
Awesome,
and I'm super grateful I'm on the affiliate accounts, but that means I have to actually do the affiliate accounts.
You're
events.
Obligated. You're not just going, you're obligated.
No,
to go.
And I have 2 events a day that I'm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That, you know, dude.
Are they like panels or something like that?
I have at least one panel a day on Friday, Saturday, and Thursday, Friday, and Saturday I have a panel event that I'm participating on.
Got it.
But then there's like in the evenings, there's like the affiliate gatherings I have to go to.
The social stuff,
which is okay. I'm always better at that in my 40s than I am now. Now I'm just like old and cranky. And like, okay, look at my watch. I got to go. But the ones that's really like Z and I are like, oh shit, is the affiliate workouts in the morning. They put it on our calendar.
Today.
They put it on our calendar every day. There's like an affiliate workout at 7 a.m.
Oh shit,
dude! Every day, and I told you I don't go to the games to work out. Like, you know, we had that. We would, although we did have fun in the RV. Like,
that was fun, but that was also right outside of your trailer.
It was right outside the trailer,
right in the RV space.
You know, let's do the work. And that was that. Actually, that was that year.
That was really cool.
Last year was the only year that I worked out as many times as I did.
Really?
Yeah, that was the most I've worked out at the games was last year. But it was so fun.
Me too. But that was without competing.
Yeah. And then, without competing. But then this year, 7 a.m. And then one of them.
Oh, no. Is it early, early?
Yeah, no, it's on Friday morning. And it is the, quote, Chad community event.
Oh, gosh.
That's on the calendar.
Those so I'm already, ups,
first of all, it's already, I already told Zia, if we got to do this, it's team.
Yeah.
And yeah. We're pairing up, and there is no ruck fest on this.
Yeah.
Now I did Chad last year, and in my estimation, just it was one of the hardest workouts I've ever done in my life. Because I did it RX to a 24-inch box, and my problem was I thought
were
it was
going
be way
for
easier.
Time. Were you going for time?
Yes, and I took off hot.
Okay.
In the beginning, and then just.
I did it in my garage facing the whiteboard.
Oh,
like right here.
You told me that.
By myself.
Oh, at least I had other people and music.
I was listening to a podcast. I didn't think it was that hard, but at the same time, I wasn't going for time. It was more of a mental challenge just to keep track of what fucking number I was on.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did at least an extra 60 step ups. I guarantee it. Like,
I know you.
Yeah. If I get to a point and I start thinking about something else and I'll forget, oh, shit, I got to go back to that. Oh, wait, was it 5 or was it 8? Fuck it. I'll just go to 5.
You Jamie, know,
I
don't want to over. Jamie never undercounts. He never overcounts. He undercounts always.
But then I do over the reps.
And then you do over the reps.
And you know what? That's good because then you're prepared. If you get no reps in a workout, it's no big deal.
That's true. For Chad. So which brings me back to the games events, what they've announced so far. They've announced Chad.
Yep.
And then
Chad with an interesting twist.
Yeah, with interesting
twist. We can maybe speculate a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to speculate. So
let me pull up the Instagram.
Contrary to what we had said in the past, we thought it was, I said, and Jamie thought too, it would be stadium steps. Because then you only have to count how many times they get to the top of the stadium.
Yeah.
Right. And then, but the challenge there was, how are they going to get back down to go again? But it would, you know, that'd be an easier way to count it.
Yeah.
I thought, because I really think it's going to come down to the judges, like one, as you know, Tim pointed out, 1, 2, 3. It's just counting those steps, 1,000 steps is brutal.
Yeah.
So Castro posted while he was on the Savant podcast, which was pretty funny, the step overs.
The stepovers, but you don't know what she's stepping over.
No,
you know, and with the fact that everybody's using a 20-inch box,
yeah,
I have a suspicion there's going to be a flip in there,
like
a pig flip or something.
So Jamie, and that really makes a lot. He said that to me, and that makes a lot of sense. So there's a pig that they have to flip, right? So that's what they got to flip. Because I heard, like someone said that every like 100 step overs, like they'll flip. So there's 10. Mm-hmm. So that way you can track who's where they are in the race, and that would be cool.
It's just like moving the chess piece.
Yeah, because
down the
which
field,
is cool
because
you
want to
see where you know, you want there to be a race that people can see.
Yeah.
And Davis said that he told Savon that they were going to have to do 2 heats. That he didn't think he could get it. Meaning 2 heats, like the men and then
and the women separately.
Yeah. Rather than that, the men and the women together.
Yeah.
But what Jamie's speculating here is that she's stepping over a pig, not a box.
So then have to flip it as if it was the chess piece.
Yeah, and flip the pig as if it was the chess piece.
Or,
which is cool. I like that idea.
This isn't even a crazier speculation, but maybe it's got like a sensor in it or something where you have to step onto the spots and it counts it for you.
Yeah, the pad.
Yeah, like a pad. Yeah, exactly. Like a pad, like a timer pad, but it catches like reps.
Yeah.
That could be one way, because then you don't have to have judges out there counting for 3 hours.
Yeah. That could be done.
Yeah. And that might be what you don't see here. I mean, to me, I'm thinking it's going to be a pig, because it's the same height across the board. They're not going to make multiple different pigs that are different heights.
Right.
You know, and I think the pig last year, like the big red pig, was just a
if she was stepping up onto a sensor, that would work. Or if she was stepping down onto a sensor pad, that would work either way.
Because it almost like she reaches extension, but she's only tapping her foot. Like on this one, she just taps a little bit. I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. But she does both feet come to the top. And she's purposely tapping.
Yeah. And there's like, what is she tapping? Is that the pad?
That's interesting, though. They're probably saying like both feet have to. It's really interesting that she's doing that. Yeah. Why is that? Why is she doing that? I didn't notice that. Good observation. She's coming up and she's kind of just tapping at the
very
top.
Deliberate.
Very deliberate.
Yeah. But she's not looking up.
Yeah. Instead of just taking a step to the other side, she's coming up, tapping, turning down. Oh, that's really interesting.
Maybe they're bringing in some new technology here.
Yeah, maybe new technology. That'd be cool. Great. That would be really great.
Yeah. So that we got Chad. Then Castro.
And then we have the triathlon or the run swim, not the biathlon or whatever.
Yeah, the run swim run.
Run swim run. That's fine.
Which they've done so many times too.
And that's early in the morning. People are freaking out about heat. You know, again, I'm agree with Castro. Shut the fuck up. Yeah. It's like the athletes
are swimming.
They're swimming, plus that they're training for this. They know how this, they know what to do. And triathlons get done in the summertime in these places. Mm-hmm. I was in Austin, Texas during my training for marathons when I was doing all of it. And we did it in the summer. You just do it in the morning. It's a little humid, but it's nice.
Yeah.
And then there's a clean ladder.
Yeah. Which is cool. Yeah. I like the clean ladder.
And so I asked Jamie, I said, what do you think, Jamie? Do you think the clean ladder is the strength event?
I think so. I mean, if you think about it, we haven't had like a traditional, you know, one rep heavy kind of thing for a while. And even when we had that one rep heavy lift, it was the sandbag clean.
Right.
It was when Boz was running the programming. But I like this format. It's an elimination format where there's like with five bars, you go three at the first bar, two reps at the second bar, and then one, one, one. I think that's going to make for a really fun race.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what the weights are going to be.
Let me ask you, Jamie, what do you think the weights are going to be at the ones?
At the ones, I think we're going to see.
It's a single clean, right?
For a single clean, yeah.
Not a clean and jerk.
Just a clean.
Just a clean. So, I mean, some of these guys can clean.
I'm thinking it's going to be over 350 pounds for sure.
Yeah.
I think it'll be over 350 for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
The top
for sure. And it's not like you're going into it fresh.
There's a few of those guys that clean 400 pounds.
Yeah. And I have a suspicion that it's going to be very similar to kind of like what we've seen in the past with like the clean ladder, like the sprints, right? Like you qualify. I mean, he said they're going to eliminate from 30 to 20 to 10.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to see that progression. And I would imagine we're going to see the weights go up and up and up.
Yeah.
But with the fact that they're starting with three reps, like in the beginning,
so that's heavy.
It's not going to be as quick, which, you know, I think it's going to, they're also essentially building in a little bit more volume. So when they get to that final bar, it's not like they've just picked up four bars beforehand. Gotcha. They've accumulated five reps, you know,
right. Yeah.
So it's like you're starting with three at the first bar, then they go two to the second bar. Is that going to be a touch and go? Are they going to drop and reset? Like there's a lot more room for maybe strategy and how they attack it.
So one of the things I asked to put on our board here to talk about was like, if you're watching the CrossFit games, and I would encourage everybody, if you're doing CrossFit, try and watch CrossFit games, go to YouTube, watch the events after they happen. But the clean ladders, snatch ladders,
so fun.
They are so fun to watch. And you see heroic efforts with those ladders. You just see stuff that surprises you. You know, you think about Spieler, you know, at the end of his career, you know, in the last, he even showed.
Or even Cody.
Last year.
What's his name? Cody.
The kid that hit.
The gymnast.
Oh.
He was tiny and he was cleaning like with a 330 or something in that clean ladder.
Yeah. It's really cool to watch. And it's the both the men and the women and what they're able to do. So I would definitely watch that. There is the on Friday night at the stadium outdoors, they're doing sprints. There is a Davis showed a new implement, or not necessarily new, but it's the weighted starts, basically a sandbag in the shape of a star.
This guy right here.
Yeah, that guy right there. You're watching it. Which is cool looking. It looks like the people zoomed in and they said it said 170 pounds. Did you see that? So can you zoom?
Are you able to zoom?
Yeah, right there.
170, 116.
Yeah. What says? Yeah, it says 170 pounds lb.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. It's upside down.
Yeah, 170 lb.
Woo.
So 170 pounds for that thing.
That's not light.
No. Bro, that's a carry. That's not the guy's version.
I was thinking that with the field sprint into the 1600 meter run. I was listening to the Get With The Broken guys.
Yeah.
And they had commented on maybe they'll use the sandbag as a carry, but they didn't mention anything about the weight. The fact that you just pointed that out, that's a heavy bag. Yeah. If you're going to have to carry, I mean, it'll make it easier to carry because of the star versus like having to carry like a pill or something.
It'll be interesting to see how they do those sprints and then they do the mile run. Like when do they do it? Do they let everybody go through sprints and then they do the miles? Is Olympics, like separate events completely?
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff but that'll be fun. I think that's going to be really exciting to watch too. If you can go online and watch it on YouTube that's Friday night. That will be a lot of fun to watch.
I mean, it's like watching track and field, the mile run. Like those are some incredible races that go down. Like the strategy and how people will come back, and it's really cool. It's fun to watch.
Yeah. What I would say is, don't watch the Olympic sprinters and then watch CrossFit sprinters.
Different. Way different. They're doing a lot more too.
Watch the Olympic sprinters, I feel like it's in fast motion. They're able to move their limbs.
Ridiculous.
They are able to move their limbs so fast. It's insane.
But that's what you get when you take the human body. I mean, we can see what the human body is capable of just through CrossFit. Now imagine if you focus on one modality and one skill, one discipline.
Great point.
You just take it to the next level.
The Olympians are specialists.
Yeah.
That have specialized in a particular movement or event or even combination of events. And they have mastered those. Mm-hmm. What's cool about CrossFit is they're testing fitness, which is the work capacity, the ability to do things across various different domains.
Mm-hmm. Time domains,
loaded
domains,
time domains, and movement domains, and and so you get basically the best average athlete, versus the best specialist. You get the best average athlete, the fittest. Like when you define fitness, it's increased work capacity across broad time and model domains.
Yeah,
and so that's what CrossFit's testing. So it's really cool that it's being, essentially juxtaposed against the Olympics, which are happening at the same time. So that'll be fun to watch. If you're watching the CrossFit Games, just go on YouTube, watch the events, event by event. And if you only have a small amount of time, I'd always fast forward to the last couple heats.
Yeah. Catch
the last two heats. And because that's where the fight's happening, that's where the battle's going for the top. And then on the last day, they're cutting to how many athletes on the last day? The 20 or 10?
They're going 10. Are they going all the way down to 10?
I can't remember either, damn it. We don't know. Watch another podcast for all the details on that stuff.
This is the podcast for pure speculation.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Speaking of speculation,
I will tell you this: there's going to be a lot less athletes on Sunday,
which will make it way more fun to watch.
But it's easier to watch.
It's easier to watch. That's probably a better way to put it. Not more fun, but definitely easier.
And you'll be looking for, and again, and the big names are going to be the ones to watch. Like
it's not so much easier to watch, but easier to follow.
Yeah. That's right. So the big names are going to be the ones to watch too. Do it, like, is Jeff Adler.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be able to repeat and win the CrossFit Games. He's won twice now, right?
Once. He won last year.
Yeah, didn't he win the year before?
No.
Sure about that?
No.
This is how little we know.
He wasn't a repeat.
I don't know.
I think it was Medeiros, wasn't it?
CrossFit Games winners list by year. Here you go.
I thought it was Medeiros. No, this
is every winner of the CrossFit Games.
Because Medeiros is a two repeat. He didn't do so great last year.
Right. You can't even get, like,
just go to the leaderboard.
Lord. Oh, here it is. Oh, it is.
It is Medeiros.
Yeah. Medeiros
is looking good this year too.
Adler. So So Medeiros repeated 21 and 22, and then in 23 was Adler. I thought, for some reason, I thought because
Adler was on the podium during 2020,
but he also run the Rogue Invitational.
Yes, yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right, so I redeemed myself. But
he was on the top of the podium.
The question is Adler going to be able to repeat this year? And then you got Roman Krennikov, who's probably in the, because of his age, getting towards the last part of his opportunity.
Still pretty good though.
Yeah, no. So, and then the other one, one of the fan favorites, Pat Bellner. Just consistently second place.
Medeiros is looking strong this year, too. I feel like Medeiros is looking a lot fitter this year than last year.
Yeah. And then on the women's side, you're going to, you got Laura.
Tia's winning.
But you got Laura Horvath, who won last year, but Tia was out. Tia wasn't there. So the question is,
it's going to be a battle between the two of them, maybe?
Yeah. But even when Tia won last time, there was she had to fight for it.
A back issue, remember?
Yeah,
she had a back issue.
And didn't she have a wrist issue? Maybe no.
That was the mommy wrist that she had for the open announcement.
Okay.
But no, she. I remember. I thought I heard something or saw something when she was talking about how she wanted to go out feeling good and healthy, but the fact that her back was all blown up. I think she said she maybe wanted to come back and get it again. I might be making that up. I don't know. But she did say she had a back thing that last year that she did win before she got pregnant.
So Tia has she's won 6 times.
Well, she during the semifinals, she won all but one event. And that one event, she took 3rd.
Really? The semifinals this year?
Semifinals. She won every event except for the one she took 3rd in. And I don't think anyone's going to stop her. It's going to be a race for the 2nd.
You know, if she's in peak fitness.
If she shows up healthy, yeah.
She has a great team, and her husband is her lead coach. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
So that's it's going to be really interesting. Well, anyway, I would watch Sunday. Sundays, if you can only watch one day, watch Sunday, because that what's cool too is that the way Dave programs, he gives people an opportunity to move on Sunday. So Saturday they call day. Saturday's moving day when everybody, that's when people.
Well, this last year the moving day was on Sunday because 50% of the points were done on Sunday.
Yes. Which is really cool. Fun.
I love
for the fans.
That they did that.
And even the last workouts, usually kind of a sprint where especially if two are close in points, you're going to see, and this is where the athletes, they give it their all. That's when they throw caution.
There's
the
nothing
and
left
just,
to risk. Yeah. Risk. It's everything or nothing.
Everything or nothing. Yeah. And it is an awesome spectacle. Mm-hmm. So if you can watch Sunday, do not miss Sunday.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a lot of fun.
And it's always fun to watch and catch this stuff live.
I'm excited about the CrossFit Games, where it is at the Dickies Arena, and because Dave has been pumping it up. I know he's been pumping up a lot, but it's a fairly new venue. It's really designed around media production.
That's cool.
And so they have all the connectivity, they have all the camera angles. That should be awesome. But the other thing that's really cool is where they're putting the and I forget what the name of the arena is, but it's attached to Dickies, where they're putting all the vendors. This big, massive venue, warehouse venue for all of the demo vendors, but all the vendors and everything else. And that's free to the public.
Yeah, you don't need tickets for that.
No, that's going to be nuts.
Yeah, so if you're local, it's going to be a good time to go to the games.
Well, and let me tell you what. You know what that vendor area is like after an event? Remember how many people are in there?
It's fucking crazy.
Okay. And that's
with a ticket.
That's with a $90 ticket that people had to buy.
Yeah.
So can you imagine what this is going to be like there?
Oh my gosh. It's good for those vendors.
Zia and I talked about it this morning. Are we going to get an opportunity to go in there before everybody else? Because, and if you're a vendor going to the CrossFit Games, you better bring a lot of stuff.
Fuck.
I can tell you right now. Because vendors are going to sell out.
Yeah.
That's what I worry about.
It's going to be crazy.
It will be crazy. There's going to be so many people there, and I hope that the vendors are prepared. But then there's going to be big viewing areas with alcohol served. It's going to be CrossFit Mecca.
Yeah.
I think we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah. I would agree. I am going to have some FOMO for sure.
Yeah.
always do when they change, move.
So if you're in Texas or in the area, I think it's worth the drive. Go down there and spend a day down there at least. So,
so real quick, one speculation.
What's that?
What movement are we going to see?
Sean Lenderman, Roman missed his time. Oh, man. He might have. And that was mostly, Sean, that was mostly due to all the visa issues he had kind of when he was peaking. It was really unfortunate that he couldn't.
Well, he would have won had he not broke his foot, too.
Boy, he
for sure would have won if he hadn't broken his foot.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was tragic.
It was.
He's such a nice guy. Watch that Mayhem thing that Hiller produced, and it's just a charming guy. What do you got the pig up there for?
What movement are we going to see that's new?
Oh.
So here's a list of all the movements. Castro posted this.
Reposted
or shared was part of this.
What did you think the new movement was going to be?
Personally, this is maybe just me hoping to see something like this, but I would like to see like a Turkish getup with like a circus dumbbell in the format of like the sandbag clean, and how they did the sandbag clean format where it kept increasing in weight. But imagine if they did it with like a circus dumbbell. Something a little bit different.
Yeah, that would be cool, huh?
Or maybe even just a circus dumbbell as a movement, an implement that we haven't seen.
Rogue has those dumbbells.
I know.
For the strongman people.
But we have never seen anything like that in really CrossFit before. Yeah. But they're saying this is the first time it's been seen in the games. So I don't know.
Okay. They could do a clean ladder in that. They could
do a clean ladder.
Yeah. And
a get up ladder.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you got anything else you want to talk about today?
No, this was fun.
Yeah, this was fun. I'll hold off on any new announcements.
Okay.
All right. Thanks everybody for joining us. See you next week. I think.